WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Relief for thousands of residents today around Chester County, Pennsylvania, where police finally captured a convicted killer. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens.
Tactical teams converged on the area where the heat source was. They were able to move in very quietly. They had the element of surprise. Cavalcante did not realize he was surrounded until that had occurred.
He'd been on the run for 14 days. In Libya, more bodies have been recovered from massive floods. Here's CBS's Holly Williams.
The city of Derna was home to about 100,000 people. Now over 5,000 of them are dead, according to one Libyan official. The authorities say across the country, twice that number are still missing. Storm Daniel, which killed 15 people in Greece last week, swept across the Mediterranean Sea, causing two dams to burst just outside Derna.
The White House is defending its decision to unfreeze billions of dollars in Iranian funds for the release of five detained Americans. National Security Spokesman John Kirby.
This is not a payment of any kind. It's not ransom. These aren't U.S. taxpayer dollars. And we haven't lifted a single one of our sanctions on Iran. Iran will be getting no sanctions relief.
Kirby says that money will be held in a supervised account and Iran will have to make requests to draw those funds. Thousands of writers and actors hit the picket lines in Hollywood today, marching from Netflix to Paramount with their demands. SAG President Fran Drescher.
It's because of these top-tier, highly greedy, self-absorbed executives that frankly are ruining it for everybody but themselves.
Meantime, the United Auto Workers Union says it could go on strike Friday if there's no deal by midnight tomorrow. Union President Sean Fain.
The UAW doesn't back down from a fight. We're willing to do what's necessary to win justice by any means necessary.
Big changes could be coming for the NFL. CBS's Matt Piper.
Following Aaron Rodgers' torn Achilles this week, some players are sounding off on the artificial surface at New York's MetLife Stadium and others, calling on the NFL to replace turf with natural grass because of apparent safety concerns.
Down goes Rodgers in the sack for Leonard Floyd.
The NFL Players Association wants the league to switch to grass, saying the data is clear that grass is simply safer than artificial turf.
Right now, only 15 NFL stadiums have grass. The other 15 have turf. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like steam.
Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wall Street Journal and College Pulse's 2024 Best Public Universities list placed the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire second in the state behind only the University of Wisconsin-Madison. 400 schools were ranked as part of the report based on student outcomes, learning environment, and diversity. Nationally, the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire was ranked 328th. It also ranked very highly as one of the most LGBTQ+ friendly universities in the country. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced today he has created a panel to investigate the criteria for impeachment as Republicans take steps towards an unprecedented impeachment of new Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The impeachment criteria panel will be made up of three former Wisconsin Supreme Court judges, but Speaker Voss declined to name them and says he won't until their work is complete. He expects the panel to complete the work over the next few weeks. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
You don't own me.
Let's go. But I'm Gerald.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Mike Crute. If you don't know who I am, now you know I'm Mike Crute. With the Devil's Advocates. You can find us right here on the radio dials 4 to 6 p.m. We're going on the road. Our friend Maggie Dawn's been on the road. She's in D.C. Got a big speech to give tomorrow. So I'm going to fill in. And the Devil's Advocates going on the road will be in Wausau tomorrow. So if you like us, please tune in at 4 o'clock. And about 4:30, we're going to have Katie Rosenberg. She is the mayor of Wausau, Wisconsin. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to have Kyle Kilborn. He is a Democratic candidate for the 7th CD. And we're going to have Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes is one of our fine civic media hosts. Host of the Chad Holmes Show, and he does some fine work on the high school sports. And Chad's going to join us tomorrow in Wausau, in Bull Falls Radio Country. That is a very important part of the state. And we'll give you some local knowledge. We'll take you on the road with us. Devil's Advocates also heading to Oktoberfest in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, this Friday, September 15th. We're going to broadcast from Loopy's Bar and Grill. So if you got some friends in the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area, send them our way. I'll buy them a cold one. One beer. That's all I got money for. It's like one. I can afford one beer. But if you come down, I'll buy you a beer. Loopy's. It's a tiki bar. It's on the river. It's beautiful there. It's Oktoberfest in town that weekend. This weekend, I guess. Friday and Saturday. So we're very excited about that. Also, something we should tell you about, Ideas Fest here in Madison starts this Sunday. And Civic Media is partnering in the 7th annual Capital Times Idea Fest, a week-long event at the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, running 6 days starting this Sunday, September 17th through Saturday, the 23rd. It will offer a diverse array of speakers covering topics such as policing, climate change, artificial intelligence, battling food insecurity with technological innovation, and so much more. This year's Idea Fest keynotes include my guy, Senator Bernie Sanders. I am a big fan of Bernie Sanders to this day, 82 years young. Journalist Judy Woodruff, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. He's the former DNC chair, right? And former U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger. He's a former Republican, I believe. Learn more about the Idea Fest and get your tickets at CapTimesIdeaFest.com. Civic Media, proud to be a partner in this year's CapTimes Idea Fest. Please give it a check out. Next week's going to be a big week. Next Friday night, Bernie Sanders in town. That's exciting stuff, I think. And this little show, the Maggie Dawn Show for this Wednesday night, I want to start with the impeachment effort against Joe Biden. And my understanding is they don't have the votes So I'm not exactly sure how someone's declaration, in this case, Kevin McCarthy, I'm not sure how he can declare we're under an impeachment inquiry. Well, that at least takes a majority of the House. And you might think, well, they have the majority, but they don't have the votes. This is not a reasonable action. There's not been evidence put forth against the current president, Joe Biden, that would be suggestive of high crimes and misdemeanors. But I would point out, every Wisconsin Republican in the congressional delegation are more or less supportive of McCarthy's impeachment inquiry into Biden. Lawrence Andrea reports at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'll include my commentary here as we go along. Wisconsin's top Republicans on Capitol Hill this week stood behind House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's decision to open an impeachment inquiry, hard for me to say, to open an impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden, with some framing the move as a means to more deeply probe Biden's connections to his family's business dealings. Now, McCarthy on Tuesday directed the Oversight, Judiciary, and Ways and Means Committees to lead the inquiry, which will put a focus on whether Biden was directly involved in and profited off his son Hunter Biden's work overseas. The formal inquiry, McCarthy says, and here's a quote, "will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and the answers for the American public." And if you'll recall, we played that yesterday, and it was damn sing-songy, strange stuff. But anyways, back to the reporting here at the Journal Sentinel. The Republican members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation largely endorsed McCarthy's claims that Biden lied about his knowledge of his son's dealings, including accusations that Biden participated in phone calls and other interactions involving his son's business, which Republicans say made the family millions of dollars. Now, they, I guess being the Republicans here, stopped short of saying Biden should be impeached. I'll tell that to Marjorie Taylor Greene, rather suggesting they would wait for the investigation to play out before making the decision. Well, then vote. I continue from the Journal Sentinel. Republicans have yet to produce evidence showing Biden directly profited from his family dealings. Oh, that little detail. When has that stopped Republicans historically from smearing someone? Benghazi, right? How many hearings on Benghazi did we have? The Clinton Foundation, the emails, lots of hearings. Let me be a little redundant here. I'll just repeat myself. Republicans have yet to produce evidence showing Biden directly profited from his family dealings, but have pointed to witness testimony and bank records to suggest a deeper investigation is warranted. You know, you got to infer the evidence, I believe U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said recently. Now, here's a quote. Rep. Tom Tiffany. Again, we're going into Tiffany's district tomorrow. That's the 7th CD. And we're going to offer, we the devil's advocates, not Maggie Dawn, we're going to offer you at least one of the candidates who will be an alternative to Tom Tiffany. But here's Tom's quote regarding his support of the impeachment of Joe Biden, or an inquiry, or a statement from Kevin McCarthy that somehow supposed to have the weight of a vote, yet there's no vote. I would say at this point, there's smoke. We want to find out if there's fire. That's why the inquiry is so important, but I do not prejudge the case. Oh, come on, Tom. A little bit more. Similarly, insurrectionist U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orden, insurrectionist, my characterization, not the papers, a freshman Republican who represents the state swing and congressional, third congressional district. You want to know if you live in the third? Can you hear me on the tap 93.5? We're coming to Chippewa Falls. That's the third. We're coming there on Friday. That's Van Orden's district, as is La Crosse, where we'll be on the 29th, and Richland Center, where we'll be on the 28th. Starting to see a pattern here? Just wondering. You know, I want to be transparent with you, the audience. There is purpose behind our road shows. But anyways, I read about insurrectionist U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orden, a freshman Republican who represents the state swing 3rd District and faces what could be a tight re-election race. Yeah, we're going to try to make it such. Did I mention Devil's Advocates will have Rebecca Cook in the 3rd District? She is a candidate, Democratic candidate. We'll have her on Friday from the top of the show, 4 o'clock Central Time. Please tune in. But Van Orden says he supports the inquiry, but, and here's his quote, will not sign up to vote for impeachment until I see evidence. Well, that's swell of you, Van Orden. Van Orden said the inquiry expands committee's abilities to investigate the Biden family, but said he has not seen direct evidence of wrongdoing by Biden. Has anybody? Do you have that evidence to offer us, we the American people? Because I'd be right with you. Give me some direct evidence of corruption. I'm not here to stand by my man, no matter what, if there's evidence. But hell, short of that, what is this about? And why are Wisconsin Republicans, who are on the ballot next year, every single one of these Republican Congress people we mentioned in the 3rd, looking at you, Derek Van Orden, in the 7th, looking at you, Tom Tiffany, they're on the ballot next year, and they support this purely political move, the impeachment of Joe Biden. But I read on. Van Orden said the inquiry expands committee's abilities to investigate the Biden family. I think we mentioned that. He told the Journal Sentinel he's been focused on his 3 committee assignments and trusts that his colleagues on the committees tasked with the inquiry will do their jobs. I feel obligated to vote for opening this inquiry, Van Orden said. Then vote. Have that vote. I'd like to see a public vote. I'd like to see you on the record, congressman. Again, here's his quote, Van Orden, the insurrectionist. I feel obligated to either vote to impeach the president if there is compelling evidence, which no one's offered, of course, and I'm compelled to vote I can only read it as it's printed here, and I'm compelled to not to vote to impeach him with reason. That's his grammar, not Crudy's. Don't blame it on me or Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, by the way. I'm Crudy filling in. What about Rojo? U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was for years attempted to uncover Biden's purported ties to his son's dealings, called the inquiry a way to make Republican demands for information more enforceable. Is that what this is about? Ron, you were one of those guys that did lots of inquiries. You had the gavel for a while. You had subpoena power. His GAC, right? Used to brag to Dom and Crute on the Devil's Advocates. Well, I'm the chair of his GAC. Anyways, here's what he's saying now. I'm all about uncovering, exposing the truth, and that's what we need to do on this. It is the most important part of accountability is finding out what happened and holding people accountable. That does seem somewhat logical, right, Nate? Accountability. The most important part of accountability is holding people accountable. Hard to argue with that logic, sir. More from Johnson. Let's face it, the administration hasn't been straightforward, said Johnson, whose investigation in 2020 with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa into Hunter's business dealings in Ukraine uncovered no wrongdoings by the current president. Here's a quote again from Ron, just adding a little context there. Even when we had a Republican administration, these agencies were not forthcoming. They withheld information from myself and Senator Grassley, so they need to be compelled to cooperate. Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. We're discussing which Republicans in the congressional delegation would support the so-called impeachment inquiry against Joe Biden. And the answer, apparently, all of them. Come back. Mike Crute filling in on the Maggie Dawn Show. Time it down, 'cause I never stay.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Dig out the Lederhosen. It's Oktoberfest in Hayward on Saturday, September 16th. This all-day fest features German food and beer, an axe-throwing contest, 50-50 raffle, and it wouldn't be the same without live polka music throughout the fest. Celebrate Oktoberfest in Hayward, Saturday, September 16th, 11 to 7 at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds Pavilion, and is brought to you by the Hayward Lions Club. More information at haywardoktoberfest.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 40s. Sunshine, beautiful. High, low 80s tomorrow. Chance of showers and storms tomorrow night and Friday. High in the mid 70s. Sunny and low 70s for the weekend. Dry with a warming trend to start next week. Currently at 64 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. I'm here in Madison. I'm Mike Crude. I'm broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, Mad Radio Madison, 92.7. You know, many of you are listening there right now. I got a fun guest coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show. She is Liza Hillenbrand, and she is the host of the show that comes after this fine show. She is the host of the Empowered Caregiver, and I don't know if you're aware, but we've got something of a caregiver crisis going on in this nation. So I look forward to speaking with Liza Hillenbrand. She joins us in the studio next. But I want to get back to the impeachment inquiry. I guess that's what they're calling it at this point. If I haven't made the point yet, Nate, they haven't voted on this yet, so I'd like to see a vote. Remember, Nancy Pelosi made a little speech fine, but then there was a vote. So if you are going to call it an impeachment, go vote. But setting that aside, Wisconsin's Republican congressional delegation, they're down. They're down for this. Again, I quoted U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, and he's got some logic on this. The most important part of accountability is finding out what happened and holding people accountable. Again, very hard to argue with that logic, Ron. U.S. Senator he doesn't need that promotion. U.S. Rep. Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald on Tuesday both voiced support for the inquiry. That, again, is the impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden, despite any of these people being able to point towards a scintilla of evidence that would suggest a connection. But, you know, you got to infer the evidence, Ron told us recently. An aide to U.S. Rep. Brian Stahel, again, he's in the first. So if you can hear me on WAUK, perhaps you're in the first. But if you're listening to WRJN 1400 AM 99.9 FM, pretty damn sure you're listening in the first CD. Brian Stahel, who represents the competitive first congressional district. Oh, that first. Did not respond to a text seeking comment. Green Bay Republican U.S. Rep. Mike Gallagher. And if you're in Green Bay, you can hear us on WGBW 97.9 FM 1590 AM. Tell your friends in the Fox Valley. Lots of ways to listen to the Devil's Advocates and Maggie Dawn and Civic Media. But Mike Gallagher, less so. Not much to say on this topic, at least not yet publicly. Rep. Gallagher did not say Tuesday whether he supported the impeachment inquiry and suggested he was waiting for a Republican conference meeting Wednesday to learn more about the move. Someone's got to tell him how he should think on this issue. Not quite sure yet. Gallagher said that at best, what Hunter Biden and probably Joe Biden were doing is extremely swampy. And if it wasn't illegal, it should be, but added that there needs to be evidence of a crime to justify impeachment. Yes, there should be at least the allegation of a crime to justify an impeachment inquiry. And again, no indication there has been that. I'm going to apply the same standard to this that I applied to the Trump impeachment, said Gallagher. What is that we won't, pardon me, which is that we won't, screwed it up twice, Gallagher, my bad. Which is that we don't want to lower the bar for impeachment. So there needs to be evidence of a crime. And I would point out the second impeachment of Donald Trump. Mike Gallagher sat on Capitol Hill and pled on CNN, I believe, for accountability from the president in real time for the actions of his followers on January 6th. Now, the impeachment was about that, Mike Gallagher. Remember the one, not the one you're rushing to with no evidence, but the one that so clearly there's evidence of, the guy's now been criminally indicted in at least two different jurisdictions. I point towards the Fulton County and the DC because both of those are directly related to evidence that the former president criminally tried to overturn an election. And he incited a hell of a lot of people to violence that day, Mike Gallagher. A little more from this article before we sneak off to break and bring a fine guest in, Liza Hellenbrand. McCarthy's announcement came as he faces pressure from the right flank of his party to step up House Republicans' investigations into the president, with or without evidence, right? Because 2024 is an election year. And the move is seen as in part, as a way to appease that faction of the same time as some of those same detractors that vowed to withhold support of the must-pass government spending bills over spending disagreements. So the same folks that want to impeach Joe Biden are also going to shut down the government. Will they continue impeaching while the government shut down? Just curious. But anyways, here's the rest of the reporting at the Journal Sentinel. Congress must pass the bills or short-term stopgap measure by the end of the month under the threat of a government shutdown. That's the other thing. Republicans are bringing you the impeachment inquiry with or without a vote of Joe Biden and a government shutdown, you know, for pumpkin spice season. Now, McCarthy launched the impeachment inquiry without first taking a full House vote. Oh, I thought you're supposed to do that on whether to initiate such a move. Meanwhile, Democrats on Tuesday pushed back strongly on McCarthy's inquiry. White House spokesman Ian Sams called the impeachment inquiry extreme politics at its worst. House Republicans have been investigating the president for 9 months, and they've turned up no evidence of wrongdoing. His own Republican members have said so. He vowed to hold a vote to open impeachment. Now he flip-flopped because he doesn't have support. Oh yeah, Kevin McCarthy 12 days ago said, I will not do this without a vote. What about the vote, McCarthy? What about the vote? Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. The entire Republican congressional contingent, perhaps excepting Mike Gallagher, he's got to get his marching orders from somebody. They're all down for the impeachment inquiry against Joe Biden, and not one offered any evidence. Just think about that for a moment. And then come back on the Maggie Dawn Show. Got a fine guest. She is Liza Hellenbrand. She is the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show. We have a caregiver emergency. It's all across the nation. It might impact you. Stick around, please.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Convicted killer Danilo Cavalcante did not go down without a fight when he was captured today in Pennsylvania. KYW-TV's Brandon Goldner's there.
When he was surrounded by police, he tried to crawl through underbrush. A canine had to be released to subdue him. And even still, he was fighting with police until those handcuffs got on him.
Devastating floods in Libya have killed more than 5,000 people and rising. CBS's Ian Lee.
With morgues overwhelmed, residents are placed on the streets they once called home. This hospital director says those not identified are photographed, numbered, and buried. Many end up in mass graves.
Three big automakers have a little over 24 hours to meet workers' demands and avoid a strike. Union President Sean Fain.
We will not allow the big three to continue dragging out negotiations for months.
And he says they won't extend contracts either. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa Falls Police Department has announced some road work will cause detours at the intersection of Walnut Street and Main Street. According to Facebook posts, starting this Friday, work will begin at the intersection, but the road will reopen on Saturday and Sunday under gravel. On Monday, work to improve underground utilities will begin again, and the detour will be in place for approximately 2 weeks. The detour will utilize Canal Street, Woodward Avenue, and Park Avenue. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters that deer season begins this weekend with the opening of archery and crossbow seasons. The two seasons run through either January 7th or January 31st, depending on the county, and all harvested deer must be registered by 5 p.m. the day after the deer is recovered. The DNR is also reminding hunters to practice proper safety, like wearing safety harnesses in tree stands and using a haul line to bring unloaded weapons to the stand. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, the Wednesday night edition. Maggie in D.C. She'll be back next week, but I'm filling in. I'm Mike Crute, and I brought a fine guest into the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, here in Madison. She is Liza Hellenbrand, and she is the host of Empowered Caregiver. Liza, welcome back to the Maggie. Well, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
First time
on Maggie. I've interviewed you before. We've talked on the radio prior.
Long time listener, first time guest.
Liza, first and foremost, let's talk about your show. Who do you have on this evening, and what do you plan for this evening's big show?
This evening, I have on Matt McCain, who is one of the leading long-term care insurance providers in the nation. He knows everything regarding long-term care inside and out, and why people need to plan ahead. Because, spoiler alert, you can't afford it.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So you got that to look forward to.
I don't want to do math on the radio, Liza. Let me ask you, let's help define for the audience, what is a caregiver for those that are unaware? Some perhaps don't perceive themselves as caregiver. You are the parent of a child, as am I, that is on the autism spectrum. But I don't think I ever perceived myself as a caregiver per se, more of a parent. I wasn't even the primary parent.
Right. And I think a lot of people don't see themselves in that role or give themselves that designation because you're just a parent, a daughter, a son, a sister, what have you, that's helping out another family member. But what I define as a caregiver is somebody that is helping out either somebody that is disabled or elderly that needs additional support throughout their life above and beyond just what a parent would do. When you parent, your child assumably grows up and becomes more independent. When you're a caregiver, there is always going to be a level of care needed for your loved one.
We've got Liza Helen Brand in studio here. She is the host of The Empowered Caregiver. And I know because I've listened to that fine program, this is a really big number of Americans. Approximately how many people are affected? How many people are caregivers?
The statistic is 1 in 5 Americans are currently caregivers. But when you take into consideration that there are many of those that have been caregivers in the past or those that will become caregivers. So it's really hard to dodge that bullet. There's an estimated 42 million Americans that provide unpaid care each year.
Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Again, the guest is Liza Helen Brand with the Empowered Caregivers. She appears right here on the Civic Media Network, 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time. So coming up next. And then if you miss it, make a note. Saturday mornings on many of the stations at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. Again, Liza, you shared in anticipation of your appearance today with me a thing called the Child Care Cliff. And I realize that may not be the primary focus of the show you do, but why did you think it was important to share it with me? What Child Care Cliff? What should people know?
Well, Child Care Cliff, you know, kind of falls under caregiving because, you know, you're taking care of your children. But it really is concerning because there are thousands of child care centers closing throughout Wisconsin that are having troubles keeping the doors open. And so what happens when a child care center closes, the parents no longer can work, right? We kind of saw that with COVID, the great exodus. And a lot of those care centers had some federal funding or state funding in term, which is now dissolving, and they're having trouble staying open. And if they close, it's going to greatly impact the economy because people can't go to work.
And I know this has become something of a political issue, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole per se, but the governor, Tony Evers, the Democrat, has put forth propositions to go into special session, try to deal with some of these issues, because he defines them as a workforce issue. He defines them as a broader umbrella that affects the workforce. But let's turn it back to the caregivers for a minute. Until you asked to poll the host here at Civic Media and find out how many of us have been caregivers, are caregivers in some way, shape, or form. And I was surprised as we enumerated the different hosts and people were candid with their own life situations. It was a big number. And Liza, it affects people at work. It's a workplace workforce issue. Being a caregiver means your life is disrupted for someone else's life and probability. And sometimes that involves jobs. And sometimes people lose jobs when they can least afford to do so because they're a caregiver. How big an issue is that? And I know you've discussed it on the show.
Well, it's a huge issue. And it's something that I'm passionate about. helping create caregiver-friendly workplaces. A large number of people that are caregivers are impacted at work or have to leave work or, you know, quit their job altogether because their employer doesn't allow the flexibility needed to take care of a loved one. So I think, you know, as everyone is looking to hire, creating caregiver-friendly workplaces is an opportunity to really get some talented people. Because if you want a hardworking person that's able to multitask and, you know, research and grasp different things, go to a caregiver. You know, they wear many, many hats. They're great employees. And with the right flexibility, they can be a great employee at many situations.
Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. That is Liza Hellenbrand. She's our fine guest. She is the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show. It's coming on at 7 o'clock right here. Keep it locked right here on Civic Media. Caregivers, we often reference, or I know you reference the unpaid sort, the family providing care to a loved one or a relative, whatever the case may be, much like your personal example. But we also, and I know from your most recent guest, last week's show, you had a very compelling guest on. I believe he had ALS, cerebral palsy. My apologies.
Cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm.
And he had a very compelling life story, but part of it is effectively he is in a jail of his body, and he is really subject to when people show up for work. And if people don't come to provide him care, professional caregivers, in a timely fashion, he can't go to his job. And while this guy has the intelligence and the education and has marketable skills, my memory and my understanding of this guy's experience is he had lost many of those professional opportunities of his own because he can't find stable, reliable professional caregivers.
That's true. I mean, this is a huge, huge issue that we need to address. I went on Indeed the other day, and it was page after page after page of caregiver positions. And you're right. This is Andy Thane is a Marquette graduate, college-educated gentleman that his day revolves around when caregivers can come. He's wheelchair-bound and help him out. And if they don't come, he stays in bed that day. And the turnover rate for paid caregivers is so high that he is constantly hiring. It's a never-ending process. So his day is pretty much consumed with who's coming, when are they coming, and who can I hire next.
And he needs care really from morning to night. He needs care to get up in the morning, and he needs care to feed. Did I understand that correctly? And then also at night to prepare for bed.
He, like many, is eligible for up to 36 hours, I believe, of care per week. He's happy if he can get 4 hours a day. You know, someone just to help him get up and someone to just help him get to bed. And that is a story that you hear over and over and over. The money's there. You know, the people are approved, but there's no one to provide the care.
Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. That's Liza Hellenbrand. She's the host of the Empowered Caregiver. Comes on after this. Liza, I've listened to enough of the shows. I am well aware. Many times you're uplifting, or at least I hear efforts to try and be uplifting of the caregiver community. This is, I hate to call it a burden, but, you know, you'd have to pay a stranger to do it. And someone from the family, often this responsibility falls upon them, and it can be daunting. I'm not saying it's a burden, but it can be daunting. It's hard work. How do people support each other? How can caregivers get support?
I think having a sense of community is huge. And you're right. I try to bring uplifting thoughts and guests to the show because I don't want it to be depressing. I don't want it to sound burdensome. But you're right, it's hard. It's hard work. There are many benefits to it. You know, that you have wonderful relationships with the person that you're caring for. It can be very rewarding. So there's, you know, as a caregiver myself, I wouldn't change it for the world, but it's impacted my life in a lot of different ways. And having that sense of community is important. Having the people that you can connect with that have similar experiences, where you can share stories, you know, where they get it, where they understand how you feel, is important because depression, anxiety, and caregiver burnout are very real. They affect people in large numbers, and you have to take care of yourself. It just goes back to the whole putting the oxygen mask on yourself first. So it seems selfish. It seems like, you know, how could I possibly carve out time for myself when I have to work and take care of, you know, my loved ones and so on and so forth. But it, you got to look at it as a must. You have to take care of yourself. In many cases, I just found out recently, caregivers pass before the people that they are caring for because of that stress and not taking care of themselves.
That is a scary proposition, Liza Helen Brand, host of the Empowered Caregiver Show right here on the Civic Media Network. Stick around for that. That's coming at 7 o'clock. Liza, I was a little surprised. Maybe I should not be, when you talk about 1 in 5 people potentially being a caregiver. That is a huge number in the population of this country. And the government has taken note, and they perceive this as a crisis. And they think something has to be done on both a federal and a state level. Let's start with the federal level for just a minute, Liza. Tell us what the federal government under Biden is trying to do for caregivers.
Well, there's a RAISE Caregiver Council that actually started several years ago that came up with 5 major recommendations and, gosh, a couple hundred, honestly, goals within those recommendations on how to address the caregiver crisis, because they do realize that this is a crisis. And I've got so many numbers floating in my head. I believe it's $640 billion that caregivers provide each year in unpaid labor. So if those caregivers were to go on strike, throw up the hands, say, I'm done, who's going to take care of these people? And then when there aren't those people available, like in this caregiver crisis that we were talking about earlier, then a lot of those people end up institutionalized or in group homes or settings that aren't ideal or in their best interest.
Liza, what about Wisconsin? What resources are there? Where do you see the action happening last minute here?
I think in Wisconsin, as far as what can be done to address the caregiver crisis,
just where the government finds itself interacting with caregivers, where the agencies are at.
Well, the ADRC is a great place to start if you're looking for resources. It is on the government. It is on the governor's agenda. He had a lot of stuff supporting caregivers in the budget, which was cut. But they know it. They realize it. They realize this is a problem.
Liza Helen Brand, she is the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show. Plays out right here live at 7 o'clock. And if it's preempted by Brewers baseball, although that's a good reason, you can always find it Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock, so set an alarm. It's not too early for a Saturday. Liza, thank you so much for joining me here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Liza, we'll let you get ready for your fine show. The rest of you, stick around. One last chance. The phone line's open, 844-967-2.
Talk US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different. And not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now.
The vet.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 40s. Sunshine, beautiful. High, low 80s tomorrow. Chance of showers and storms tomorrow night and Friday. High in the mid 70s. Sunny and low 70s for the weekend. Dry with a warming trend to start next week. Currently at 62 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm not Maggie Dawn. Maggie will return next Monday. More live shows ahead. She's got a big, important speech to give in D.C. tomorrow, so I've been filling in. I'm Mike Groot with the Devil's Advocates. I will be going on the road tomorrow, taking my show on the road to Wausau on Thursday, taking it to, where are we going? Chippewa Falls on Friday, going to Oktoberfest. I knew that for sure-sies. I want to thank the most recent guest on the Maggie Dawn Show, Liza Hellenbrand from the Empowered Caregivers. Caregiver, singular. It's just her now. But Liza is the host of that show. That comes up here in about 10 minutes. Get a little less political. And if you miss it on Wednesday nights, don't forget, replay it. Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock, usually on Sundays. Check your local listings, as they say. But let's get back to politics. One last segment. If you got a hot take for the Maggie Dawn Show and Crudy tonight, today night, kind of right on the border now. You know, I feel like I got a Monday mouth. It's been a lot of talking for me today, so apologies if I'm losing it here at the end, but 844-967-2789. Hot takes, welcome here. Molly Beck, Journal Sentinel. See if this is a hot take. Now, I was doing my damnedest yesterday to try and say the glass is half full, give Robin Voss just a skosh of possible pre-credit on his legislative proposition. Now, this is supposed to go to the floor tomorrow. And what Robin Voss had proposed as the Iowa model, which he claims is a full 180, like he found God overnight or something, and suddenly, instead of impeaching Janet Protasiewicz, all that talk was on the back burner. And now it was all full speed ahead, nothing but sunshine and compromises in the Legislative Reference Bureau, drawing the maps. Fair is fair, right? Now, Tony Evers, and everyone I spoke to, didn't talk to Tony personally, but I did read a statement. He had a harsh assessment. You know, I guess predicated on the history of, you know, bad stuff that Republicans have been doing here of late. I can understand why Tony was skeptical, but Crudy, ever the optimist, I was trying to keep a glimmer of hope. And then today, I read this at the Journal Sentinel, Molly Beck. Robin Voss, the aforementioned Speaker of the House, now probing the idea of impeaching Protasiewicz with former justices. You know, and I'm thinking, who are the finest, the best and the brightest? What, did you call up the embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin, Michael Gableman? Or are you confabbing with Dan Kelly? Maybe candidate Michael Skronik? You know, who's on the bench here for you, Voss? Maybe patience. Rogensack, I dined down the bar from her at Biagi's in Middleton recently. Did I tell you? You may not have heard that story, Dane. I'll tell it really quickly. I'm sitting down the bar, and I was there with a work colleague, and it was late afternoon, but not evening, and she was having some sort of something with her husband, I must assume, and Patience Rogensack, then Supreme Court Justice, kind of on the very end of her term. I nudged my friend. I showed her the picture of Patience and said, Patience Rogensek, I'm pretty sure. And she turned to this blonde woman, looked about 70, and said, Patience? And she said, oh, I'm Pat. My friends call me Pat. And I said, well, some call you Justice. And she said, some call you Crudy. And I went to, you know, turn, and she just gave me the hard pat on the left shoulder. Like I was turning to, you know, perhaps stand up and confab with her for a bit longer. She said, oh, no, I know you. And then her husband came up. Everything okay, sweetie? She said, just talking politics. And we left it at that. So I wonder who it is that Voss is consulting with. Let's read. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is renewing consideration of impeaching. Did he ever really set it aside? Of a newly elected state Supreme Court justice a day after Democratic Governor Tony Evers said he would not sign into law a plan from Voss to write a new electoral map in an effort to bypass the liberal-controlled court. Voss and other Assembly Republicans put forward a bill Tuesday that would direct nonpartisan legislative agency staff to write new legislative boundaries, a move aimed at rendering moot lawsuits before the Wisconsin Supreme Court that could upend the current GOP-favored maps. And the proposal came about a month after Voss first publicly warned newly seated Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz would risk being impeached if she did not recuse from the redistricting lawsuits because she called the maps rigged while campaigning. Voss had softened his tone on impeachment just before releasing the new bill. That was just a quick softening of the tone. You know, it's funny. They just pressed this at the Journal Sentinel again. I was seeing if that's new news. No, it's the very article we're talking about now. But Evers quickly squashed the proposal to draw new maps. Now Voss has asked the former justices to probe the idea of impeachment. Here's what he said. I can't think they think it's a good idea. I'm asking a panel of former members of the state Supreme Court to review and advise what the criteria are for impeachment and to be able to go to the next step of this process if we're not able to determine an off-ramp. You're the one that needs the off-ramp. And again, I'm thinking, which former Supreme Court justices? Prosser? Prosser didn't recuse either. Voss said he would prefer to have Evers sign into law his plan. Of course he would. I don't have any fear of having a fair process. That's not what you've set up until now. But if you have a justice that has predetermined cases and is not going to take themselves off the case, I want to know what all of our options are so we're ready to go if required. You know, that is my last option. It's unclear which justices Voss will be consulting on the matter. I've speculated. He said on WISN AM. Now, I was on that Dan O'Donnell show earlier today as well, a little debating. He would not release their names to avoid lobbying. Well, that's very transparent. Well, I'm talking to people, but I'm not telling you who or what sort of advice they're going to give me because you might lobby them. Well, if there are people of character, if they're former Supreme Court justices, one must presume they're not readily persuadable by a little lobbying. Oh, what if I buy you a beer? Then will you give Robin Voss the advice I want you to? Patience, if I bought your beer, would you give him the advice? Just tell him Crudy sent you. Just a day before announcing his effort to probe the idea of impeaching Protasiewicz, Voss scolded the media for reporting his past comments, floating the idea. It has to be where they violate the oath of office, right? Justice Protasiewicz, who prejudged cases, doesn't recuse herself, right? That could be something we would consider. Well, that's what Voss said on August 11th. Folks, thanks for listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Nate, thanks for pitching in and producing these last couple days. Now, Maggie will be back on Monday. And if you are a fan of the Devil's Advocates radio show, I hope you come with us on the radio, of course, or come out in person. We're going to be in Wausau tomorrow. We're going to be in Chippewa Falls, Oktoberfest, and at Loopy's Bar on Friday. Come see us 4 to 6. I guarantee we'll be there all night. And the Empowered Caregiver with our fine guest from the Maggie Dawn Show. She is Liza Helen Brand. Please stick around. Keep it locked. Civic Media.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 80 P. Eau Claire,
and streaming every